connection, engagement, rigor, success. Here on Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast, we are building a legacy of success together, one episode at a time, each Tuesday at noon. As your host, Anne Labangana Clay of ANC Unlimited, we will unpack relevant topics in education together. And when I'm not podcasting, coaching, or consulting, stop by our website, acunlimited.org, for our new blog, Coaching You EDU, and a menu of services. If something resonates with you during this episode, message me on the podcast app of your choice or leave a comment on LinkedIn, our company Facebook page, or on Twitter. Our guests appreciate your feedback. Check out the story notes for our social media details, and certainly, if you have an episode suggestion, send it to coachingallthingsedu@gmail.com. Now let's dive in. Today's guest is Kyle Hill, who has worked in special education for 25 years. Currently, he works district-wide as a resource lead in an attempt to help educators support all students within their diverse classrooms. His greatest passion and job, though, is as a father of three who all have their own unique needs. Because of his experiences in education and as a father, Kyle became the founder of the Recharged Family. This organization provides free content and resources for parents, educators, and community members through his podcasts, The Recharged Educators, The Recharged Family, and various Recharge Family virtual events. You can connect with Kyle on all social media platforms at Recharged Family. Find out more about the work he is doing to help youth and those who support kids by visiting www.rechargedfamily.com. And now for our episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast. I am ecstatic today because I have with me Kyle Hill. Kyle, how are you doing?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me on, and I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to dive right into our questions here, which first we want our audience to get to know who you are. So Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Okay.
And share a little bit with the audience, the platform and the role that you stand on.
Sure. So I am a special education resource for school district. Now, previously, I did 20 years as an elementary school special education teacher, and that came about because I was a struggling student growing up. So undiagnosed ADHD, school was bumpy, to say the least, for me growing up. I had a lot of challenges academically, some behaviorally, more like I like to make people laugh, and sometimes the teachers didn't always appreciate that. So as I got older, I started to realize, though, I liked working with kids, and I really wanted to be able to work with kids who had unique needs similar to mine, or, you know, any unique needs in general. And so 20 years at the elementary level, working with special education students, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then I asked to move into this resource position about 5 years ago. And now it's really hard to explain this job that I do.
I
in a good
imagine.
way. It's in a good
In a
way.
good way, right?
Yes, it's probably not for everybody, but for me with my ADHD brain, it's perfect because I can be in a first grade classroom and then an hour later I'm hanging out in 12th grade. So
Oh, I love it.
it's entirely different. My job is I'm in charge of interventions, special education interventions for a school district on the academic level. I assist with behavior support. I'm a lead mentor, so I help support the mentors and our mentees in our school district. I am probably the chief person overseeing paraeducators in our school district. My so I and other duties as assigned, I think. I pretty much just say my job is to serve. And so I just try to help and I don't say no often. It's usually administrators reach out to me and say, "Hey, could you help me with this?" Yes. The teachers
Absolutely.
that say, "Hey, could you help me with this?" Yes. And paraeducators say, "Can you help me with this?" And I try to keep my answer yes as much as I can. It keeps me running around and busy. But it's good work. And I'm really appreciative of the opportunity to work with so many amazing educators across our district. And then beyond that, I also am, you'll find me like on social media as Recharged Family. And I had challenges myself with unique needs and then became a special education teacher. And now I have a house filled with unique needs as
I
a dad.
love it. I
so
love it.
um about 8 years ago our son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and that's a game changer for a family and you know, him becoming insulin dependent. And we also have a house filled with other unique needs, with ADHD, anxiety disorders, and some variety of other things. So now when I look at things from accommodations and supports perspective, I also look from the other side of the table. And so, which is, it led me to a lot of the work that I do as far as making sure that we're connecting the homes with schools and vice versa. And then also I've learned of the value of bringing in community to help support students. So I do a lot of that work outside of my day job, and all because I just want to help make a positive impact on young people.
Oh, indeed. Oh, my goodness. you've said so much, and I love it, right? It's like you wear roller skates, it sounds like, but I heard several things, lots resonated with me, but I thought about how, yes, we shared that role as a lead mentor and what that impact is
Right.
on novice teachers, right? Coming into your district. But also everything that you do on the day in and day out, whether it be your day, what I call it, your day job, right?
Yeah.
Or what you do after hours is impacting and touching lives, right? And making those connections where connections may not have been there, right? You're like a web of support, it sounds like to me. And everybody can rely on you, right? It sounds like when they call you, you come and you do your best. And if you can't, then you provide resources that they have. So thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, hey, I try to be a web. It's the best I can. The best I can.
I get it. Without being a rubber band that's breaking, right?
Yes. Right? Yes.
You can't stretch too far. I love it. Well, here we go. So we are a small state with a big impact, right? That is our Delaware motto for our talent pool of educators. What comes to mind when you hear that phrase, and does it align with your goals around doing something different in education with our families and community?
So yes, and yes, Delaware is an interesting place. So I grew up originally in upstate Pennsylvania, and I moved down here. My brother moved down, and I'd come to visit him, and I was like, wow, there's a beach down here. That's pretty neat. And so, so I kind of liked the area. I love the idea of being close to my brother and his family and being an uncle and doing uncle kinds of things. And then, you know, being able to, come to Delaware was interesting. It's such a small state. And what I've found is the thing about Delaware is it's a very family feel because it's small.
Yes.
And the best example I give you is, So when I left my elementary school job and moved to this current position, I also, one of the other things I ended up being in charge of was looking at transitional services for our kids with IEPs, trying to
Okay,
get think
wonderful.
about like post-secondary outcomes for them. And so what I ended up doing was joining a statewide cadre team. And this one of the
Okay.
neat things about Delaware is we can gather people together in very easily, as
Oh,
opposed to,
yes.
Pennsylvania, where,
Oh,
where we're
yeah.
from,
Yeah.
it's a long haul for everybody to show up in Harrisburg, as
Absolutely,
opposed
right?
to, it's an hour for everybody to go to Dover. So we can get people from across the state to collaborate and work together
Yes.
in person pretty easily. So that's just one example of how like Delaware just kind of has a family feel to it, which sets up well for me. And so, as far as like, what I think about in terms of the things like the platforms that I'm most passionate about kind of goes along with that. As far
Oh,
as,
indeed.
my number one job, despite everything I do, my number one job is being a dad. And what my wife and I know is because of the unique needs we have in our house, we have to be present. We
Oh,
have to be
indeed.
present.
Oh,
And
yes.
so that's the sole focus. And then beyond that, it's anything that we can do to try to impact others, whether it's myself and the work that I do, but my wife also, who works for a read aloud organization, which is a nonprofit, and she's also
Yes.
part of a school board now.
Oh,
So,
love it. Yes.
it's family and then it's service. And I think that sets up well, pretty well with the state of Delaware, as far as we have a lot of really good people in our education, in our education place in Delaware. Whether it's in the school system or like you who are working at the state level, people who support education, we have a lot of good people with good hearts and just want to serve and make a difference. And so that's Delaware is it's an impressive place. I'll be honest with you, I did not plan on staying in Delaware originally. My original one of the things so
Interesting. Yeah.
coming out of college back in the late 90s, there weren't a lot of teaching jobs available in Pennsylvania.
That's so
And
true.
so, and even although I had some interviews, being in a male looking to go into elementary special education, there weren't a lot of us.
I was
So I
gonna
did have some
say, yes.
interviews, but I never got a job offer. And so when something came open here in Delaware, I
Right.
jumped to it. And my original thought
Sure.
was I'll probably do this for a couple years,
And then
and be able
head
to
on back
hang.
to PA,
Yeah, and
right?
probably eventually go back to where my parents were, maybe, or another part of Pennsylvania. And then I next thing you know, I'm rooted. I get married, I've got kids,
Right.
you blink and you're rooted and you're here you are, and we're in it for the long haul. So, but it is kind of
Exactly.
a special place.
Indeed, indeed. Oh my goodness, that's interesting that you say that because, I'm originally from Pennsylvania as well. And, when I came to Delaware, my intent was to stay, right?
Okay.
But that was because, I taught in PA. But you're right, it was very challenging. Like, it wasn't easy to get my first teaching job.
Right.
And isn't that interesting? Here we are in a time where everybody can have their pick
There's plenty available now.
of
It's a different climate.
It's a
There's plenty
different
available.
climate indeed, right? Oh, well, thank you for sharing that. All right. So, what is your definition of equity? And what does that definition look like and sound like in your role? And how does, oh, sorry. And how does a team approach leverage success outcomes for students with special needs?
So that's a lot of good stuff. That's a great question. So equity for me really kind of comes down to number one, we need to meet, as far as a student focus, we need to meet them where they're at.
Yes. Yes.
We need to be able, and that's not just academically, I'm talking about the whole child, right? And the other thing that I often think about, especially through the special education lens, is equity isn't necessarily giving everybody the same things. It's giving everyone what they need
What
to
they
have
need.
success,
I love
right?
it.
So,
For success. There you go.
yeah,
Absolutely.
right. So for example, if I get called in to work with a student who has maybe a little bit more behavioral needs and has some behavior challenges, what we might set up for that individual child Maybe it's a complete reinforcement system because we need to teach them behavior and how to appropriately act in certain situations. That's might not be exactly the same approach we'd have to do with a student right next to them, because they might have entirely different needs. A lot of the things that I talk about in education is really, we all have unique brains, and that's really challenging for teachers, but it's also really amazing. It makes you unique. It makes you special, right? So the fact that we all have a different brain, and the things that we do well are different than what the person next to you and what they do well. And our areas of concerns are different than what they have. So equity to me is kind of like meeting them where they're at, and also understanding that we need to give them what they need to be successful. And as far as like, you know, utilizing support services, a team approach is the approach. And so that question speaks my language. And so a lot of it does. Yeah, you teed me up well. The idea of a team approach for me is what we're doing within school systems and how we team up with the families and how we team up with communities. And so I'll just start here. I won't go too deep because I could go for hours on this particular question.
Well, we're not mad at you, but we're go ahead. You share, because we want to hear this passion. This is good.
Thank you. So for IEPs, for example, right? Uh-huh. So we identify students who have specific needs that need to be addressed, and we identify their strengths, their areas that they're doing well with, and we try to make sure that we build confidence off of those. Mm-hmm. And then we identify the areas that they need to improve on, and that's going to take a collaborative team effort. And so I know, as you know, you were talking previously about, you know, your role as far as working with paraeducators and so forth.
Sure.
I do a lot of work with co-teaching partnerships, teachers and paraeducators, and trying to help them shape that model of what that can look like if we build support systems we get everybody on the same page. And how that looks within the IEP should match it what we're doing in the classrooms. Beyond the idea of how we shape the IEP is really what we're doing to bring in the other components of the team, all the people within the support system within the school, but also what are we doing to help pull in the parents? Mm-hmm. What are we doing to not just pull them into an IEP meeting, but those formalized meetings, IEPs, 504s, parent conferences, those are really intimidating. Right.
They can be for everyone involved, I think.
Yeah, they absolutely can be.
For families. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So the idea of what are we doing to set them up so that they feel comfortable coming in, so they can share and we can collaborate, because in the end, the student is going to benefit the most if we're all on the same page working together.
That's right.
And the best example I can give about like how we and I share this often. If I'm asked to be a guest on a podcast, a lot of times I get called in to talk about like how you approach collaborative work with parents. Mm-hmm. And I share this example. Like this, I always had kind of thought about, like, you know, the initial phase of when I'm a special education teacher and a student in my classroom would be identified as having a disability. And that initial meeting, I would bring a box of tissues, because I knew that a lot of the times parents were going to, it's upsetting.
It's emotional.
It's very emotional. Nobody wants their child to struggle in anything.
So
I've always thought that. But let me tell you, that was driven home to another level when my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And we then ended up going to a 504 meeting. And so I prepped my wife ahead of time and said, here are some of the things that will happen within that meeting. Some of the terminology. And we went to the meeting and we did our thing. And I walked out with her to walk her back out to the car. I thought it went pretty well. And my wife broke down crying.
Of course.
And I said, what was the matter? Didn't it go well? She said, I really don't know what happened there. I said, we threw a lot of educational jargon out. And I said, no, everybody's hearts are in the right place. Passed the paper around and I'm walking out thinking, were those decisions the best thing for my child? I don't know.
Sure.
And that spoke volumes to me,
of
that
course.
The idea we really need to go further to try to educate the parents about what this whole process is. And so when you talk about teams, like that really, that speaks volumes to me, because it's the teams within schools that build support systems for our students. And it's collaborating with the parents. And also, if we pull in the community, it gets even, our relationships get even stronger, and the impact gets even more beneficial for students.
Oh, indeed. Wow. You know, when I was listening to your example, you know, I was thinking, in addition to, and in this case, your wife trusts you, right? I mean, as far as you prepped her, she trusts you, period, because you're her husband. But I was thinking about someone who doesn't know, right? Those doesn't know the professionals in the room, right? Doesn't have the preparation, you know, or had not before you came into that role, you know, and how, like, trust is so important, right? As a parent, and I'll speak for my own experience, right? As a parent, that our daughter, you know, was diagnosed with ADHD. It really impacted her around fourth grade. So then transitioning into middle school, you know, how was that with an IEP, and, you know, on and on and on in high school. But my point is that, you know, it was important to me as a parent to be an advocate, right? As I'm hearing you, as an advocate for your own personal children, but you're an advocate for every child that is going through that process.
Right.
But I also think about the trust piece, right? I mean, I had to trust that the individuals that were also in this space with me, in these decisions with me, right? Or for me sometimes, right? Regarding my daughter, were the right choices.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's what I'm hearing that you also do, right? You're building that trust with those families by providing information ahead of time, or by holding their hand, or bringing the tissues, or whatever that you need to do, because it is scary, right? Like you said, you're learning this information, you know, and you're like, okay, we made this decision. Is this the right one? Right.
It is challenging sometimes to get everybody on the same page, but to be honest with you, it can be simple. Sometimes we make things harder than it needs to be. And so when we talk about, like, what's phase one, and when we're working with any students, it's relationship building. It's the same thing with parents. They need to know that your heart is in the right place. One of the things every year we do, we'll do new para educator, like a orientation day, and then we'll do multiple teacher orientation days. And the thing that I share, especially to the teachers, is that if you have students that have specialized unique needs, and whether it be behavioral challenges, you know, there maybe have some academic challenges, and you've learned that, and you know that going in,
absolutely,
what you can do ahead of time to build that relationship with the family is going to be beneficial throughout that year. So that if you have so if you end up having a stumbling point along the way, along the year, maybe, you know, working with Johnny and Johnny's had a couple of rough days, then if you have to make the call and say, hey, I want to tell you about what's happening the last couple of days, I've got some concerns. The parents know where your heart is. They know your heart ahead of time, and they know you're not coming from a place that you're judging the child. You're coming from a place like, I just care about your kid, and I want him to be able to be his best in the classroom and beyond. So it really comes back to shaping relationships, just like it does with students too.
Oh, indeed. And I'm just thinking, sorry, you're making me think of a lot here, but that team approach, right, also involves that building administrator, right? Because you're coming in that role, but you're coming in and out, right? But that building administrator, there should be a relationship with that child, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that family, so that, again, when you're in a situation where they need additional support, right? You know, it's not, oh, well, you're, you know, this is punishment, but this is, you know, a way to support your child. So.
Yep, exactly. If they know your heart's in the right place, they're more than likely to be willing to work with you and trust the decisions that you're trying to make.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So our audience would like to hear about your free virtual bash workshops
Oh, yeah.
coming out this summer. And that is super exciting, Kyle. What can we expect?
Yeah, so I'm shooting big this year with so let me back up and pull the curtain back a little bit. So annually I'm so fortunate to be able to meet good people like you, Anne, through the
Oh.
years and all my years podcasting and doing a variety of other things. And I've just met a lot of really good people and made really good connections with people across the globe. And
Sure.
so what we started doing was an annual, we call it our Educators Bash, where we bring in really good people to provide workshops and free resources for educators. And
Awesome.
this year, everything's going to be free, which I'm super excited about. We're
Ooh,
going to work with
okay.
sponsors to help us pick up some of the expenses.
Yeah.
And so just calling on amazing people from around the globe. Andrea Bittner, who I know who's on your show,
Oh,
would you like?
yes.
She'll be one. And I have a guy
Awesome.
in
And
Aaron Johns.
Gerard.
Yes, Gerard Phil, Dr.
Yes.
Gerard Phillips. I've
Yes.
got a guy in Australia, Aaron
Oh, my
Johnson, who does
goodness.
amazing work.
I
So it
love
really is
it.
kind of a
It's going to be
global.
global.
Yeah,
Yes.
yeah, yeah. We've got multiple people in the international space who. And last year we ended up with about 50 workshops. I'm not sure. I'm not setting the limit, but we have a lot as far as
Sure.
educators. And the idea is we bring good people. For multiple reasons, but one, so you can get their the workshops, which are not going to be like grind through hours. It's going to be quick,
Right.
powerful stuff. And then they
Sure.
usually provide resources that are free. And then
Yes.
beyond that, as far as an educator is concerned, we are trying to connect you to people that you can then move forward and stay connected to and learn from moving forward. So for
Absolutely.
example, podcasters, authors, professional
Yes.
development providers, speakers,
Sure.
bloggers who you can you take care of, you maybe introduce we're connecting you and introducing you to somebody that
Sure.
hopefully then you can learn from moving forward. And these are real people doing real work in education. And
Yes.
one of the things I'm most happy about what we've done with this is we've actually built positive relationships between educators and some of the
Oh,
people, and
yes.
they've made connections and helped each other out along the way. And so they're not just somebody who's
Incredible.
presenting and you can't touch them because they're like on another pedestal. They're just real
Right.
good, heartfelt people.
Down to
And
earth.
yep.
Exactly.
So we
Yeah.
will continue that again this summer. And what I can
Wonderful.
do, Anne, is make sure that you get the registration link so
For our show
your
notes.
listeners, yep,
Absolutely,
so your
please.
listeners can sign up. Beyond that, and this is where we're expanding this year, which I'm excited about, a little scared because
Oh.
expansion is can be nerve-wracking.
Yes.
My personal philosophy is that in order to make the biggest impact on young people, we need the school to work at building positive relationships and nurturing students and creating positive environments where they can reach the help, hopefully build them to reach their potential.
Oh,
But
yes.
in my opinion, it's not enough. The struggles are so strong in for kids today.
No,
It's
I
such a
hear
different
you.
climate from when I was growing up, right? It's
Oh,
as far as
indeed.
what struggling looks like now versus then. So the other part is what we can do to help parents. And so we're
Wonderful.
bringing in some really amazing people to help us
Oh, that's
provide
exciting.
information for parents. It could be anything from behavioral support ideas to IEPs
Yes.
and special education to how you operate within meetings at schools. And it also could be
I
things
love
like
it.
helping your teen and figure out transitioning to what's next. Is it college and career? Is it
Great.
I'm going to go to the military? So like the gamut for parents. And we're also going to bring in a community bash, which is going to focus on community members. And that's
Okay,
going to reach
okay.
out to, right? So the idea there is, can we have good people who know how to work with kids, the modern day kids, and
Sure.
maybe share some insight, some experts who can share some insight with people like sports coaches or youth organizations or mentors or even employers, and maybe share some insight about how you work with kids. And so the
Absolutely.
best example I can give you is, I used to coach at the high school. I coached soccer for about 13 years, and then we had twins,
Okay.
and that blew that all up. Like so, like That was a real test in my priorities there. My wife said, keep coaching. We'd already had my son, but then we had two in one shot. And I was like, I think it's time. I gotta hang on my boots. But what I then did once I graduated from that is then I started coaching like kinder kickers and t-ball and things like that,
Hey, there you go.
which was amazing and challenging all in the same breath. But what I
Well,
learned coaching at that level was there's a
sure.
lot of people who have good hearts and they know the game well, but maybe they don't know how to work with kids because they just don't have those experiences. And so our focus on the Community Bash is really to be able to
I
provide
love it.
some information for those who are working with kids out in the community and offering up some options as far as like how community can get involved with schools, whether it be student mentoring programs or coming into certain organizations that will team up with schools and could provide them with some information like that. Because it's my opinion that
So
schools, we can't
cool.
make this lift alone. We need the parents, we need the families to be engaged as best they can, and we need community to understand that this job is hard when working with trying to make an impact, and anything they can do to support is really beneficial. So that's kind of like the gamut of all of it. And thank you for allowing me a few minutes to talk on your platform about
Oh,
it. And again,
absolutely.
it's free. I'm excited about that this year. It's all completely
Yes.
free. And I'm really excited about where it's going. We're working on even with our sponsors, but bringing in free gifts for people who roll in,
Oh, indeed, right?
and also free resources. So there's just a lot there. And the hope is that we're able to provide a lot of this information to school districts who can then disseminate the information to their teachers, to their parents, their administrators, and then also to their families too, and anyone in the community.
That's amazing. Amazing. It sounds like you started with one, right? I mean,
Yeah.
it sounds like there are now three. You've expanded
Yeah.
in
Like I
one
said, it's
year.
exciting and scary all in the same
Right.
breath.
It is, but you know what? But it's needed, right? You
Yeah.
saw a need. I love it. It's this ongoing professional learning, right? To me,
Yeah.
what sounds like it sounds like
Yep.
you get this. Get it here, but then you can also tap into future podcasts, blogs, etc., that same individual is providing, because that's usually their purpose, right? Is
Exactly.
professional learning.
Yeah.
So that's fantabulous, and
Thank you.
what I
Thank you.
mean
It
for educators, parents, and community,
Yeah.
just
And one
the
of the things that
impact.
I'll say is kind of unique is that, there's in-person conferences which are amazing and get people excited and you get so much information and that's a couple days. And then there's maybe like a virtual conference and that's a couple days, but then it kind of ends. These workshops and the resources, we have them open for months. So you can kind of go back to it and keep swooping back and gather more pieces to help you along the way.
That is incredible. Kyle, what a
Thank you.
visionary you are. No,
I don't know about that, but
seriously.
I appreciate that.
You are a visionary. You have to say, you have to accept it. No, seriously, I absolutely love it. Obviously, my experiences in my career have been focused on professional learning. I'm one of these people that builds into my career even today, into my calendar learning time, because
Yeah.
it's important for us to be lifelong learners, in our craft, but also in life, right?
Yep.
There are
Agreed.
things, like the community one that I might take part in, right? You're when you get that set up, because that's an area that I'm not as well versed in, right? And so anyway, so love that. Thank you, Kyle, for sharing that. And it will be in the show notes, and you'll include a link for those who also want to include sponsorships or items that could be used as giveaways. Include that as well, okay?
Awesome. Yeah, thank you very much.
All
I
right.
certainly will. Yeah.
Absolutely. And our last question. This is trending on the podcast, Kyle. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what legacy message would you print on it, and why?
That's an interesting one, and it's probably it, I thought about this ahead of time because I know this is your thing.
Yes.
So
Thank you for
which I
thinking
really
about
like.
it.
I was thinking about it because I have so many things I could put up on that billboard. If I narrow it down, I think it would probably be just, parents plus educators plus community equals a higher level for student success. And
Yes.
my personal opinion is that when we blanket kids with as many people who care about them and can
Oh, yeah.
build them up as possible, that is the absolute best recipe to help kids improve and to get them to wherever it is that they want to go in life.
Wow. I know you, I am not easily wowed.
Well, I'm glad I was able to provide that for you
Right,
today.
exactly. No, that this has been truly amazing, Kyle. Thank you for pouring into me as well as our audience today. This your perspective is refreshing. I think that also this the you kept mentioning, people who have a heart is something we don't often talk about in education anymore, right? But it's an important component of being an educator at any level, right? All the way
Agreed.
up to leadership. And so, thank you for bringing that back to us, helping us center in on what's most important, which is our students and how we can best impact their world and plant seeds along the way. So, thank you again for joining me on my podcast. Until next time, Kyle.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely.
1 billion-dollar podcasting industry? If so, Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio is ready for you. Whether you're just starting out and have no equipment, or you are a seasoned pro but need help with production, Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio has everything you need. Conveniently located in Middletown, Delaware, Blake's state-of-the-art production facilities make producing your first or 100th podcast a breeze. No matter what kind of project you have in mind, the professionals at Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio can help with your production or give you the tools to produce it on your own. At the heart of Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio is award-winning blogger, vlogger, and CEO, Antoinette Blake, and her goal is simple: to help one more entrepreneur be successful. So stop making excuses and start making your podcast, audiobook, e-course, and other online dreams come true. Call Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio now, 302-261-3530. That's 302-261-3530.